Hey, Anna. So, how do you think the world will end?
I'm pretty sure it's happening now. I mean, once I heard murder hornets, I just figured this was it, 2020.
I know. How many things can 2020 send at us?
A lot, apparently. Apparently.
But the whole big thing. If you could envision it, what are you most scared of?
Giant meteor. Easy.
Whoa, easy. Giant meteor.
I mean, I just like... I just imagine it like, oh, bad news. And I also imagine it being the size of like a pebble. Like it's not big, but it's just going to like come in and like crack everything, mess everything up. And it's just going to like, I don't know, it's not a pebble, but it's not going to be that big, but it's enough to like mess everything up.
Wow.
That doesn't really make sense, I guess. But
now,
what do you think?
I was going to get into astronomers, you know, like we kind of think big, like, we're concerned about the end of the world, but we even like go one step farther. We think big. We're like, how is the universe going to end? How is everything, all of creation, how is it going to end? Not just our Earth, but our sun, our planets, our solar system, our galaxy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's terrifying.
Now I got you more to worry about.
Yeah, I was thinking the world, but then you're talking about like everything.
Right.
Or
yeah.
The
entire universe. How is it going to end? And boy, we're going to be talking to some our guest here today. It's going to give us lots of terrifying scenarios.
I can't wait to pick my favorite of the terrible, bad, awful options she's going to present.
There's a better one. That's for sure. There's the best one out there. I can't wait to hear it. From the various home studios and Cincinnati Public Radio, I'm Dean Regas, and this is Looking Up.
And I'm Anna Heeman, and we're both from the Cincinnati Observatory, where Dean is the astronomer and I'm the grounded one. In this episode, Dr. Katie Mack, a theoretical astrophysicist and author, joins us to talk about the end of it all. So, Dean, how do you think everything's gonna like?
Man, at this point, I have no idea. I have no idea what's.
Are you worried about
here.
The murder hornets? I was
that one is not super. I'm not super excited about that. As somebody that likes to go outside a lot, murder hornets don't sound so good to me.
And you have that raccoon that's been coming trying to get your house.
Don't get me started about the
raccoon.
I know.
I'm sorry. I'm getting us off track.
All this time at home, it's like I see all these things outside. It's like Wild Kingdom outside my yard here.
Yeah, it really. You have that giant bay window so you can watch it. I was like, nature's television set.
Yeah. And I think didn't I tell you about the giant snake skin we found in the basement?
What? Oh, yeah, you just, did. Yeah. Wait a minute. How big was it? This is a setup for a joke.
The snake skin was 6 feet long, hanging from the rafters of the basement.
You need to move. I did not know it was 6 feet long. Do you know that means that the snake was 6 feet long? Do you know what that means?
I assume that's what that means. Maybe even longer. And he's in the basement.
He's hanging out, like changing clothes.
So if
I'm like yelling now.
If you don't hear from me for a while.
I'm not going into that basement.
Yeah.
Your house is like a million years old.
And it's got a stink.
I'll send my dog down there. I haven't spent a lot of time with him lately. He'll just go right down there and see what's going on.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I mean,
God.
One of these days I'm gonna have to do a Samuel Jackson down there and just about the snakes on this basement. But anyway. Now, how is the world's gonna end? Uh-huh. I don't know. I mean, I guess the part that starts to get me wondering, that's a little bit, I don't know if it's fun, but it's at least less terrifying, is what would you do if you knew the end was coming? Let's say you knew a giant asteroid was coming to the Earth, or you knew some kind of cosmic ray was going to destroy the Earth, and you had, some amount of time. I don't know. What would you think if you knew it was coming? What would you do?
I would drink the biggest bottle of champagne I could find. But just be like, you know what? And I would get my family, hug my family, call my blah, 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 blah. But then I would get like, a giant thing of like French fries. Let's just go out in style. Enjoy myself. I mean, what are you going to do? Like, it's happening. It's done. Like, I don't know.
So your philosophy would be carpe champagnum. That's what you'd be.
yes. And patent pending on that phrase. I'm going to go ahead if I can make that something. But yeah, I mean, if it was like, guess what's happening? You know, you've got, it's it. The time the clock is ticking. I would be like, let me get on my peeps. And then I maybe would have a little party. Yeah. Is that weird? Not a party, but just I would enjoy myself.
I would think so. I think that's a good way to do it. And yeah. So here's another one. So let's say you're an astronomer that sees an asteroid coming that could strike the Earth. Would you tell anybody?
Oh.
Would you? I mean, that's the thing. And that's one of the stuff that the conspiracy theory folks say. They always ask me, they're like, so you'd tell me if we were going to be destroyed by the Earth, right? I was like, yeah, of course I'd tell you. Why wouldn't I tell you?
You're like, I want to get that thing named Dean.
That's right. You've been destroyed by asteroid Dean.
That's right. Yeah, I think you have an ethical obligation to tell people. Although, would it just be not worth all the hysteria and like, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, like, if you had like only 10 hours and or if you only
getting
had...
oddly specific. You're like, let's say you had, I don't know, 9 hours and 48 minutes.
Let's say that a rock 8.35 miles is on a collision course with the Earth that would land somewhere near central Cincinnati.
Okay, let's just say that.
On let's just say September 30th.
Yeah, I was like, what day are we saying now?
At 12:05.
Oh my gosh.
Let's say that was going to happen. Would you have to tell me?
What's wrong with you? That's scaring
no,
me.
No, I am totally
You're
joking.
You're scaring
this,
me.
If, and this is the thing.
Easily rattled.
That this would not happen. This would, if one astronomer could see this, a lot of astronomers could see it. And astronomers
That's a good point.
Are not quiet. Like, you know, I'm kind of a big mouth. Like, you know, and I seem quiet and unassuming, but I can talk a lot. And if I would discover something, yeah, I would be letting it known. And there's so many amateur astronomers that would see it coming too. But
So I
don't know. So you would like to see it coming or you wouldn't want to see it coming?
I don't think that you didn't really give me the option before. It was like, if you knew, well, then I would just have to like ride it on out. But I would rather not know.
Rather not know?
I mean, yeah. Just let me, like, again, sometimes when you know as many things as I do, I mean, when it's really just, I'm so full of information, obviously, and facts and just smart. Sometimes maybe big things, you just want to not know about it. Got a lot of anxiety working up in here and it would just be a lot. I mean, would you want to know or would you just want to be like taken out, like done, flash a light, everything's over?
That's a tough one.
It's a tough one.
I don't like surprise parties. So I think probably I'd want to know.
Hey, Dean, this is the exact opposite of a surprise.
That's right. Yeah.
Did you just say, well, I don't like surprise?
And I'm not so big on, like, I can't jump into a swimming pool either. I have to like wade in very slowly.
Oh my
God. I think I want to see it coming.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the exact same thing as what we're talking about here. Hey, speaking of parties. Are you going to tell everybody about the party that you had?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So I used to be
around
kind
this
of
topic.
I, you know, way back before I was an astronomer, I was kind of into apocalypses. Like I was really into those sci-fi movies about end of the world stuff.
Right.
And I got to admit, I did get wrapped up a little bit in Y2K. I thought maybe Y2K was going to do something.
Like, you thought it was going to, like, what? Like the computers were all going to crash?
I don't know. This was when I was pre-scientific. I was pre-astronomy. Okay.
You're like, let me just give myself a carte blanche here to be a total psycho.
Well, you know, I've come a long way since then.
That is true. So. You're a very measured, very self-possessed scientist. That's right.
Yeah. So I shouldn't have told you about this, but yeah, I did have an end of the world theme party a long time ago.
Uh-huh.
And so, yeah, I invited people to come, a mishmash of people, some that knew each other, some that didn't know each other, but were friends with me. And I invited them to this party and they were supposed to bring with them the items they wanted to take to the end of the world. And a story of how the world ended. And it was really kind of fun. All these things people brought, they brought like pictures, they brought pets, they brought books, they brought this kind of neat stuff that like they're holding deer and that kind of stuff.
Right.
And then of course somebody brought some potato chips, which is always good for me. I like that.
You
so.
Need a snack for the
Yeah, you gotta have a snack.
Right, come on.
It might've been what I had. It was just a big bag of potato chips. But And then, yeah, just people had these great end of the world scenarios, like, you know, it was going to be a nuclear war, it was going to be a disease, it was going to be, my favorite one was a friend of mine said he thinks it's going to be a global traffic jam, people will be stuck in traffic and not being able to get home, and that's how it will. And I thought that was a funny one.
That is pretty funny, actually. Did you have one, or were you just asking everybody else to think of, like,
I'm trying to remember, this was so long ago, yeah, which one that, yeah, I thought
so
it
long, because now you're a respected scientist and you're worried that, like, your reputation's on the line. You're like, I would never think of anything so fancy.
No, that's pretty much, you hit it right on the head there. That's pretty much right. I'm gonna dodge that question like it's going out of style.
Dodge no, it I like can't. You're in that global traffic jam. That's right. Everything.
Sorry, I can't hear you.
Sorry, this the microphones are bad because we're not together, right? Because we're Well, that's a good idea for a party, I will say. It's like a desert island party. It's like, what would you bring? You know, like, if you're sitting like, what would you bring with a desert island or whatever?
I know. So now I gotta think bigger. What do you bring to the end of the universe?
That's right. I honestly never thought about the end of the world not being the end of the universe. Is that the most, like, self-absorbed thing you've ever heard?
How Earth is the only center of you. I know. Don't I you know. Think of any other planet but your own?
Nope. Not. Don't give one. Don't give one thought to it. Sorry. Sorry, Neptune. You're on your own.
Dr. Katie Mack is a theoretical astrophysicist and assistant professor of physics at North Carolina State University. Recently, she released her book, The End of Everything, Astrophysically Speaking, and she is with us via Zoom today. Thanks for joining us, Katie.
Thanks for having me.
So we've been talking about the universe a lot here today, and we've been talking about how the universe will end, but get us started here. How did the universe get started?
Well, what we know about the beginning of the universe is that the early stages of the cosmos it was hot and dense, and sort of all of space was filled with this kind of roiling plasma. So we know that the universe has been expanding since then. It's been about 13.8 billion years since that time, and we know that the early universe was hot and dense because we can actually see the leftover radiation from that time. We can see parts of the universe that are so far away from us that the light has taken 13.8 billion years to get to us. And so we're seeing the light from the final stages of the Big Bang. We're actually seeing parts of the universe that are so far away, they are still on fire. So we know a lot about the very early universe, partially because we can see it and partially because we can also learn about the physics of that early time and do experiments and use our theories, but we can actually see it directly, which I think is pretty cool.
So obviously I'm very familiar with all different kinds of astrophysics and physicists. I mean, clearly, but for our listeners, for the lay person, mm-hmm. could you explain the difference between your field, the theoretical astrophysics at a physicist role and other astrophysicists?
So all astrophysicists study the physics of stuff that's in space, you know, stars, planets, whatever, the galaxies and so on. An observational astrophysicist or an observational astronomer would be somebody who uses telescopes or uses data from telescopes. A theorist like me is somebody who doesn't touch data at all and tries to figure things out based on doing mathematical modeling or, computer simulations or sort of making projections for what future observations might see based on what the theories tell us. I don't use telescopes. I don't do experiments. I don't touch data at all. So I'm very much I'm kind of in the middle between the people who come up with the theories and the people who do the experiments and do the observations. And I'm kind of trying to figure out what can we learn about the universe? How can we test the theories using data from actual, you know, experiments and observations.
And I mean, this can lead to some really deep thinking. And how did you get into this field in the first place?
I've always been interested in science. I've always been interested in kind of how things work. And as a kid, I was, you know, a tinkerer. I was always taking things apart and putting them back together and so on. And when I discovered, you know, black holes and the Big Bang and space-time and all these cool physics concepts, I just knew I needed to learn more about that. And so I decided I was going to do cosmology, a study of the universe as a whole, you know, and all of these weird concepts, and just kind of carried on through that. You know, went to college in physics, and then did a PhD in astrophysics, and did research in cosmology.
Well, while we have you here, can you just real quick give us just your hot take? How's the universe going to go ahead and just end?
Well, there are a lot of possibilities. The one that seems to be the most likely at the moment is something called the heat death.
I feel every summer, the heat death. I'm like, I can't. You're so right.
Well, yeah. So heat death is a bit of a misleading term. Another term for this actual process is the big freeze, because actually the universe ends very cold. But the reason it's called the heat death has to do with the fact that basically the universe, everything in the universe wears out and decays, and all that's left is sort of the waste heat of everything that happened in the universe. But the actual temperature of the universe is very, very cold at that point, because the way it works is right now the universe is expanding, galaxies are getting farther apart from each other, and over time individual galaxies or clusters of galaxies will get more and more isolated as the universe gets bigger and there's just more and more empty space. And so all of the matter and radiation in the universe gets kind of diluted away, and then stars die and matter decays, and you have this very, very cold, dark, empty place, and there's just this tiny amount of leftover radiation from whatever everything decayed into, and it's just being sort of diluted through the universe. So it's called a heat death because of this sort of technical definition of heat in physics as like disordered energy. But it is a very, very cold way to go. It's also kind of sad. Yeah. It is kind of sad. No, it's not the most dramatic. I mean, it's gentle. It takes a really long time, but it's a bit of a bummer. Yeah.
So, like, personally, I'm a big fan of the Big Crunch. Studying, you know, back in the day, that was the leading theory, and now this heat death thing came along and ruined it. But you know, so I'm a Big Crunch guy, and I hope that the information is going to come back and the evidence will point to Big Crunch again. But do you have a favorite?
What are you pulling for?
Yeah, what do you want to happen?
So my favorite is something called vacuum decay, which is way weirder than all these other things. But let me just say something about the Big Crunch for a moment. I think the Big Crunch sounds horrifying, because the way the Big Crunch would work is like, you know, the universe would stop expanding, everything would come crashing back together, and we would see all these galaxies coming toward us, and the radiation in the universe, all the starlight and everything, would be compressed into a smaller space, so outer space would get super hot, and there'd be all this hard radiation, like, showering down on us, and then eventually it would get so hot that it would actually, like, it would ignite the surfaces of stars. Like, it would get them. That's a terrifying way to go. I don't know.
I go deep freeze. I'm with Katie. Deep freeze. Let me just give me a big comforter. Mm-hmm. Let me just hunker down.
Just kind of fade away.
I just drift off. That sounds great. I love it.
But then after the crunch, then you get another big bang after that. The whole thing starts over again.
But you're destroyed, right? Like, you're not going to see it.
I guess I would like to see we'll all go through this again someday. Yeah. And we'll have this very nice conversation again in a different universe.
Well, you know, there are certain ways that things like that can happen. I talk about that in a bit in my book in the heat death chapter. There are these weird sort of statistical fluctuations where you can end up repeating the universe in this very strange way, but that's a whole other topic. My favorite way to go would be something called vacuum decay. And this is just totally out of left field. So the idea behind vacuum decay is that there's basically an instability built into the universe or how physics works in the universe. And it would mean that our universe is susceptible to a quantum event happening somewhere in space that would change the value of the Higgs field. Now, the Higgs field is this energy field that pervades all of space, and it has something to do with how particle physics works in our universe. And if that value, if the Higgs field changed, then it would mean it would break all of physics. It would mean that particles don't hold together anymore. You can't have atoms and molecules anymore. It would destroy all of the way that physics works. And so if that transition happened, it would create a little bubble around that spot of a different kind of space with different laws of physics, different so you know, different mixes of particles, you know. And inside that bubble, physics wouldn't work anymore. You couldn't have atoms and things. And that bubble would be expanding out at about the speed of light and just destroy everything in the cosmos. And once that bubble hits you, you are utterly disintegrated. And then the space inside the bubble would collapse into a black hole. So it kills you like several different ways. And it's super, super like, you know, complete.
Is it fast or slow? Like the other one was slow.
Oh, super fast.
Oh.
No, it's super fast because well, I mean, it takes, it's something that, you know, it's a quantum event. So you can't predict when it would happen. And so in principle, it could happen anytime. In practice, we're pretty sure that the time scale on it is like 10 to the power of 100 years or something. And it's extraordinarily unlikely to happen anytime soon. But when it does happen, because the bubble is expanding at the speed of light or thereabouts, you don't see it coming. So it's going too fast for you to notice that it's coming toward you. Then you don't even feel it because like when it hits you, your nerve impulses don't travel that fast. So you don't even have a chance to notice that it's touched you before you're just disappeared. And there's no like tragic aftermath, you know, nobody's left to mourn.
No one's cleaning like, anything
just,
up.
It's just, yeah, it's just over. Like, you know, nobody's sad about it. So it's a very like humane way to go because everything just kind of ends and nobody even notices it.
Yeah, this is how I like to leave parties. I just go. I don't like say bye yeah. to everybody. I don't take my time. I'm just like, I'm out. I yep. slice Irish exit out the door, whatever. That's the way to go universe-wise, yeah. I think, too. Yeah,
absolutely. So I think it's the
Katie.
Best way.
I like that yeah. one, too. Yeah, I like deep freeze, but now I'm also liking that
vacuum
one.
Decay.
You leave parties yeah. faster than the speed of light. I don't know how you do it. You can get out of there. It breaks the laws of something.
I can't say bye to everybody because I'd be there as long as I was already like, it doesn't work. So that's why the universe should take a tip from me and just go. Just out. I love it. I'm excited. I won't be here for it, but I'm into it.
Well, I think this is a super big insight into what theoretical astrophysicists do is, you know, they think sure. of all these things. And your book is a fascinating read. It's really fun to think you. Of all these things. And we're so glad you could take the time and join us here to talk about this. It's it's so cool talking about the end of the world, at least in my opinion.
Thank you. Thanks. I really enjoy it, too, as you might be able to tell if you read the book. I probably enjoyed it a little bit too much. But
Well, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
It's time for everyone's favorite game. I'm sure it's everyone's favorite. We're going to play a little fact or fiction. And I have a question. It's very timely. All also right. important, takes on a new importance as we discuss the fact that amateur astronomers might be able to see the end of the world coming before the rest of us. But anyway, fact or fiction, it is nearly impossible to purchase a telescope right now.
That is a close to certain fact right now. It is
crazy.
There is a shortage of new telescopes out in the world. And this is something we've been experiencing at the Cincinnati Observatory. Mm-hmm. We've gotten so many requests from people on how they can buy a telescope, how they can borrow a telescope from us, how we can fix up their telescopes. I think it's as people are just at home and they're looking to do this themselves. They want to study the universe and look up there and see all this stuff. And so we were pretty much out of telescopes. And I called up our dealer. Because we had a guy and we called him up and I was like, we need a bunch of telescopes fast. And he mm-hmm. said, no way. We can't do it.
And he was like, get in line.
And so it was a couple month wait to get a telescope. They're totally out because they said that they have never seen so many people buy telescopes in their whole existence. And it's just incredible that people are really going for this. And so if you need a telescope right now, there is going to be a hot market for this. If it's a good, it's a seller's market. So if you have a scope you want to sell, put it up there, raise the price, double it, whatever. Because there's a telescope shortage out there.
This
and you're
amazing.
Right. If, if there's not as many people with telescopes, we need more people looking, scanning the skies.
That's right. I'm really worried, everybody. And honestly, I think it's kind of those charming sort of anecdotes or footnotes about the pandemic. Like, there's dolphins in the Venice canals or whatever. I don't know if that's really true or not, but that's what I heard. Anyway, but it's like, isn't this so fun? Everybody's going on these, like, either spending time with their families, going on little socially distanced vacation, you know, camping or wherever they can kind of be with just their family. And they want to look through a telescope. Doesn't that just validate your whole career, Dean? Don't you just feel all the warm fuzzies from that?
It's not only my career, it's your career too. We're doing this. Our podcast is making this happen because people are watching, listening to this, and they're thinking, I want to do that too. You're both right, doing it.
We're making it happen.
We're making it happen. And so in the meantime, if you can't get a telescope, just put your order in. You'll get it as soon as possible. They'll be making more, but it's just going to take a while to get up to it. And then, get in contact with your local observatory or astronomy club and meet some of the folks over there. They can help you out also.
Well, that's it for this episode of Looking Up. We appreciate Dr. Katie Mack joining us. And you'll find links to her website and book at our website, wvxu.org/lookingup.
Now that we're back, we'd love to hear your ideas for show topics and guests. Email us at lookingup@wvxu.org.
The archives of all past episodes of Looking Up are easy to find. Check them all out at wvxu.org/lookingup.
Wherever you get your podcasts, you'll find us there. If that happens to be Apple Podcasts, your rating and comments will help others find us. So thanks for helping us out. And if you like what you hear, spread the word.
Also, if you see a giant meteorite heading for the Earth, also spread the word, but mostly about us and if you like what you hear. Our theme song and additional music is by Y, that's W-H-Y question mark, from their album Moline, courtesy of Joyful Noise Recordings and Terror Bird Media.
Looking Up is a production of Cincinnati Public Radio. Kevin Reynolds is our producer, Josh Elstro is our engineer, and Jim Nolan provides additional technical assistance.
Thanks so much for listening. I'm Anna Heeman.
And I'm Dean Regas. Keep looking up.